I'm redundant in my words, and they're just too small for such a great God. To say you're magnificent is just too small. Father, you're so much bigger, so much grander, and yet you choose relationship with us. You choose to have conversation with us, to reason us through the simplest of issues and the most complex. Lord God, you're there with an answer. We're asking, Holy Spirit, that you breathe life on this word, that it makes absolute sense to every woman in this room, that they, as individuals, would know before your counsel exactly what you're saying to them. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for freedom that's found only in you. Everything else is a counterfeit. Ultimate freedom is found in Jesus. It's in your name we pray, strong Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. Wow. No surprise, but Jesus always has got this groovy theme happening. You know, you think you've been spoken to, but then you have Miss Melinda come up and address something, and then you have a word Deanna shared with Faithy, and it all just so is cinched together by the Spirit. It's just, yeah, it's magical. That never grows old. Never grows old whatsoever. So guys, I wish you just were all right up here in your PJs with the pillow. That's where I wish you were. In your, maybe next week, guys, in your PJs with the pillow and all just cinched up. It's interesting to me that the childlikeness came up and also the expectation. Because I felt like the Lord was saying, even as I was just in my car driving over here, remind them to be childlike and not childish. And we'll find that in the word. And also to just get rid of all assumptions and expectations. Now, selfishly, that would bless me a lot. If your expectation on me wouldn't be so high, that would be groovy. But what he's really after is expectations in him and how he needs to perform for us. And assuming that he might be redundant and do the same thing over and over again, when in fact what I've come to realize, gosh, just so reiterated to my heart this week, is that the Lord is wildly creative in how he speaks to us, and he's seldom redundant. Seldom does he speak in the exact same way twice, although he does, and we'll see that in the word. Okay, so guysies, as I was studying, the Lord brought this scripture to heart. This is so great. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, you guys know this, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. In the kindest of voice, in a gentle spirit that only the Lord can convey, I feel like he's just wanting us to grow up maybe a little, okay? And growing up again means shaking off expectations and not being childish, but being childlike. My hope is that when you leave today, I really hope that you'll leave with your ears ready to hear him when he speaks, that you'll realize that he speaks in all different ways, and that when you catch a word from him, that you won't stop there, that it would just be like a wave that will carry you. Because to reason is relationship, you guys. The Lord might deposit a word, and we're gonna address freedom at the close of this teaching, but when he spoke the word freedom to me a few months ago, would it have been enough to just go, oh, freedom, and just leave it be? It was the beginning of this cool wave that I've been riding over the last couple of months as he's just shown me things that I never even realized I was in bondage to. I mean, he just comes in with surprise. He'll do everything. He's gone to such great means to see us free. Ultimately, the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross, right? He'll go to every extent to see that his kids, his girls, will be free. So as I was reasoning with him about how this, gosh, it kind of feels like a wave, Lord. It's just so exciting once you get a word from him and you start reasoning and there becomes discourse and he answers you back and he speaks through the word and he confirms and brings a witness to things that you think, was that me? You'll find that are right there in the word. So I had a picture in my mind and I went, gosh, that just brings me back to when I was a little kid in Laguna Beach with my raft, my sister, and a friend, and how we would paddle out into the shore, you know, not into the shore, but into the breakers, and we would ride waves in. And I began thinking about the perspective we have as children and how our perspective is a little wonky. Like, to me, those waves were 10 feet, when in fact they were probably, you know, about 3 feet high. But when you're a child, your perspective is just, it's not right. So as we grow in Christ, our perspective needs to change about who he is, his nature, and how he speaks. I have to show you something. Hold it for just a second. I literally texted my cousin and my sister when I got this picture in my mind of myself as a little kid and went, man, I wonder if I could find one of those pictures. So I texted my sister Liza. She didn't have one. Call mom. I called my mom, and within 5 minutes, she sent me some pretty fun pictures, and I just have to share them with you. Just for a little hilarity, for a little levity, could you throw up one of those pictures? Okay. So guess who I am? Take a guess. It's okay. Take a guess. Nope. Stripes is my sister Liza. I'm the one with the groovy daisy type bathing cap, which I was almost horrified because that is really not the groovy beach thing at all. And I don't remember ever wearing a beach cap whatsoever. So I wish I had a prize for you. And Destiny, you're not allowed to say anything. So what about the girl behind my sister? Does she look familiar to any of you that might be 50 years old or older? She look familiar? Oh my gosh, come on. Who said it? Who is she? It's Eve Plum, Jan Brady from the Brady Bunch. Is that fun? Is that so fun? Okay, so like you guys, seriously, you know what the Brady Bunch is, right? Okay, so little story, and I hope I'm going, Jesus, this is a fun thing to share, but I hope Eve doesn't hijack this whole teaching. And I hope you don't leave going, guess what? Sarah grew up with Eve Plum. Because that's really not the point of this. It's just a little levity here. But we were raised pretty much between a town called Walnut, inland about 45 minutes from the beach, and Laguna Beach. And we spent our summers at the beach, just stayed there for those 3 months. And Eve's family was right below us in an apartment. So we kind of grew up together for several summers in a row. We spent, you know, time together. So that's us. Now put the next picture up. That's me. Now look at those itty bitty teeny wavies. Okay? I'm just saying, you guys, we thought we were just so tough conquering the waves and they were so big. But I'm just saying, there's something to be received, taken away from that. It's time that our perspective changes. It's time we fear not the wave. It's time that when the Lord presents a word to us, that we don't find ourselves pulling away. You know, you can catch a wave and ride it, right? Or you can just backpedal and go, no, that's too big. I don't want anything to do with that. Now, I want to pose this, just jot this down as a little note. But what if the Lord were to come to you in a still small voice and say, forgiveness? How does that feel? I literally, if you know of something right out of the chute, go ahead and write it down. How does that make you feel? For some, it may feel like this is a tsunami. This is a wave that I do not want to participate in, because immediately memories come up, things that possibly were done to you as a child, abuses, being slandered, whatever those things may be, God may be calling you to the mat and saying it's time to reason as an adult, okay? You're no longer a child, and quite possibly your growth has been stunted because you've pulled back, not wanting to ride the wave. Now, I have to remind you, you guys, the character and nature of God, I'm just reminding you, is for your future to have beautiful things, for you to experience joy and happiness, for you to experience excitement. The act of pulling out of a wave and not riding it all the way to the shore could possibly be the thing that's ripping you off in your life. So, as I sat in my morning chair, my morning chair is where I take time to be with the Lord ever so quietly in the mornings, I began pondering how, you know, just how much I wanted you guys, us, to understand how he speaks and what his voice sounds like. And I'm kind of making an assumption in my mind going, well, he's spoken to me in dreams. He's spoken to me in a still small voice. He's spoken through nature to me. And I had to repent when the Lord said, sometimes this way, sometimes that. So I might share a few of my own personal stories only because they're my experience, but I'm just saying to you that you have freedom to not assume that your life or your hearing is gonna look anything whatsoever like mine. We're created differently. He speaks your language, he speaks my language. He is wildly creative, seldom redundant, okay? So when I realized in my pondering, well, let me back up a moment. When I heard him say, sometimes this way, sometimes that, I went, here we go. I'm getting ready. This is that wave. Because I knew immediately that that was the word of God, okay? That verse is found in Job 33:14, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Okay, Father God, in Jesus' name and by your Spirit, Lord, that we would not miss a word you have for us, that we would not miss a wave that you've set out for us to ride, and that we would ride it all the way to fruition, to the shore. In Jesus' name, that we would perceive every time you speak to us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. So I knew, okay, when I'm talking to the Lord and he answers me with his word, it's taken straight out of scripture, I know we're on a trajectory. Okay, we're on to something right now. So what I did was open up to Job 33:14, and I discovered something so interesting, and you guys are far more learned than I. You've probably seen this a zillion times over. I cannot tell you how many times I've read through the book of Job, but for whatever reason, had been blinded to a new character, somebody that I had been acquainted with and I'd gleaned from, but I had always assumed that it was Job speaking for some reason. That verse right there is spoken by a young kid, by the name of Elihu. If you're familiar with the book of Job, it's pretty lengthy, and I would encourage you to go in and read in context the heart of Elihu and why he speaks up. But let me just kind of set the stage for you. So we all know that Job falls into devastation, and the Lord allowed it to happen, okay? Did the Lord stop loving Job? No, the Lord had always loved Job. Job's friends, there's three specifically, that remained silent for 7 days, which was a blessing, but then they begin to figure it out. Why would this happen to him? It must be because you've fallen guilty of this, 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 and this, okay? Then Job starts making his own defense, and a self-righteous nature comes to the surface, and he's just defending himself that he didn't deserve this, and why did this happen to me, and why are you silent, Lord, and why are you not speaking? So Elihu comes in as the voice of reason. He's observing this conversation between the two. How many of you were at church last Sunday and heard Jimmy's teaching? Wasn't that interesting? That there was the accusatory voice, and then there's the voice of defending oneself. These two things. And I feel like the Lord is emphasizing yet once again, he wants to come in and silence both. His ways are higher. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Like, really, you guys? His thoughts are not our thoughts. Or may I say, our thoughts are not his thoughts. They're so absolutely different. What he comes in and delivers isn't at all what Job wanted to hear or his accusers. But nonetheless, he is the voice of reason. So he's young. And in humility, he waits his turn. He waits till things are silenced, and there seems to be a lull in the dispute. And then he comes in and he says, unless I speak, I am gonna burst. The Holy Spirit is in me, and I need to speak a word to these accusers, and I also need to admonish Job. Neither one of them were right in what they were doing. So Elihu here is an unexpected voice of reason. So in your own lives, and this is something that may come to you over the next couple of days as you ride this wave with me, ask the Lord, Father, are there any moments that you came in to reason with me and I just turned away from it because it wasn't what I expected. It came in a form that I wasn't ready to receive. I mean, you guys, we're talking elders here, wise men in the Word. And this kid, it's believed he's between 8 and 14 years old. I mean, that's pretty young. Comes in and he's got the Word from the Lord to share with these guys. So he goes down. And actually, he has 6 chapters in the book of Job. And one of the most profound things he says is, for God speaks this way and that way, but men do not perceive it. Okay, so this is, hear me. This is what I feel like the Lord wants us to grow up in. Sometimes he speaks in tragic situations, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes people are sick, physically sick with disease, because God's addressing something in them. But sometimes he's not, and we just live in a fallen world, and they're sick. Our human nature is so broken that we step in and say the most absurd, hurtful things to people, assuming God's nature on them. You know, assuming this is what God, this is the wrath of God. This is what you deserved. Now, I will say what stands out to me the most is all the tragedy that's even happened in our nation over this last year, you guys. From shootings in Las Vegas to hurricanes, loss of life, devastation has happened. And please, as believers in Christ Jesus, withhold your judgments. You can't come in to Montecito and say, well, they deserved that. They're living in darkness. Do not assume what God might be doing. This is so cool. But the Lord I'm riding this wave. He's addressing things that need to be pulled out of us. We want to be open to reason. We don't need to always be right, you guys. Sometimes we need to glory in being found out wrong and rejoice in that. There's freedom in that. There's freedom in not having to be a know-it-all. There's freedom in not having to have answers for every cause. So the Lord brought me to the story of Elijah, which is found in 1 Kings. And Allison addressed it last week, but I want to pose something else. I want to pull something else. What I'm doing right now is pulling all of these chapters of Job out because I knew I wasn't going to read them all. Okay. Okay, so in 1 Kings, Elijah runs away when he's threatened to be killed by Jezebel. Do you guys recall that from last week? Okay, you probably know the story. This is in 1 Kings 19, and I'm going to read from verse 9 at minimum through 12, possibly a little farther. And the title at the top of this portion of scripture says, "The Lord speaks to Elijah." And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he, the Lord, said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I was praying, we were just having conversation with a few friends in the hall, down by the fellowship hall, just a few days ago. They're from LA. We were talking about our friends in Montecito, and the Lord just quickened this portion of scripture to me. You know, earthquakes, fire. Did that area just experience like crazy, crazy fire? Wind, storms. Yes, all of the above. And sometimes he speaks in that. Sometimes he is in that. And it may be judgment. It may be a call toward grabbing somebody's attention. And yeah, he's working that out. He is grabbing attention, I'm sure. But in this instance, and maybe very well in that same instance, he comes in later with a still, small voice. Do you know what the still, small voice sounds like? I want to, in my knower, say, I know what it sounds like, but you know what? You hear differently than me. So whatever that voice sounds like to me, it'll be absolutely opposite probably for you. But I'm gonna share with you what it sounds like to me. When he speaks to me, out of the blue, in the suddenlies, it sounds like, Raina. You didn't hear that right. You have to come in really close to hear something like that. The word is weightless, and in my human words, what stands out to me the most is it seems invisible. It's so vague that it's got to be God. It sounds crazy, right? You'd think it would be God shouting from the mountaintop, and yes, sometimes this way and sometimes that, but sometimes in a still, small voice. I want to say that still, small voice is whispering over Montecito, come on, come back, come back, come to me. I'm all you need. I'm all you need. We need to be a people filled with mercy and love, you guys. We're not the judges over somebody's eternal fate. Yes, we can look on the exterior and say, man, it's a pretty dark place. They need Christ. But I am not going to come in and say, that was the Lord. See how self-righteous that is? And how it nullifies the Spirit of Christ. I mean, everything he's trying to accomplish, we full on bust into pieces when we come in and say those sorts of things. So Elijah heard it, the still small voice. He wrapped his face in mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That sounds like Jesus. Doesn't that sound like the Holy Spirit? Like, what's the problem? What's going on in your heart? And I think that's what the Lord is after. And all the people that have suffered such travesty, he wants to pull deep things out of us, real things. He wants to free us, you guys. And he holds the healing ointment. He does. We can be conduits of that if we don't stand in judgment. So I want to pose this also, you guys, in regards to the quake, the wind, the fire. It's interesting to me, and I couldn't do a real exhaustive study on this, but I thought, I wonder if Elijah's just so used to that type of speak from God. Like, what about fire, wind, and quakes? Like, has the Lord ever spoken that way to Elijah before? I mean, duh. He sent fire down to burn the prophets of Baal. He spoke with fire, chariots of fire, wind. I mean, there's several scriptures where I'm just pondering, I'm just reasoning. I'm not a commentator. There are far more people way wiser. But I almost think that Elijah right there is just going, I've seen his fire, I've seen his storm, and I've felt his quake, and he's not in it right here. He's not speaking this way to me right now. Again, discerning, sometimes this way, sometimes that. So let me pose this question to you. We want this to be a welcoming in of reason with all of us and the Lord. What might be going on in your own life right now that would be wanting to drive your attention? What's been stirred up? And have you gone toward that thing? Or have you discerned, this isn't God, this doesn't feel like God, I know how he speaks, I'm gonna wait in the cave until I hear his voice. I'm just telling you guys, this is medicine for our soul. This is important stuff, to react like Elijah reacted and go, yeah, God's not in that, nope, that's not him. that's not him. I almost, like, personally when I think about it, I feel like the wind is more like a jab. Come on out here. See what's stirring out here. The quake is fear. Come on, run into fear. Run that way. Come on. Fire. When I think of fire, I think of torrents and rumors and just every foul thing that would want to steal the real word of God. This is counterfeit. Just telling you guys, he doesn't work this way. He works this way, okay? So jot down. Make a note of it. Don't forget it. Is there something stirring that's absolutely preoccupying your heart? It's time to wait and listen for his still small voice. Okay, so guys, oh gosh, there's so much to be said. This last year, it's no secret, my husband's shared it from the pulpit, and I just feel it kicks the devil in the teeth. It's been a rough year. It's been a hard year of ministry. It started with great sadness with one of our best friends suddenly going to heaven. And it has just been a year of trial after trial after trial. It's been, for lack of a better word, I think I landed on perplexing. Just really, really perplexing that the Lord would allow or want us to walk through such a difficult season. But he wanted Job to, and he allowed Christ to. So who am I to think that he might work any other way? So it's been a perplexing year. I was sitting in my morning chair, and I want to throw this out too. God can speak to us in our morning chair with our journal. He can absolutely do that. But just as easily, he can speak to you driving down the road listening to Florence and the Machine. He did that to me the other day. Absolutely, anytime he wants, he can say something. Whether it be a word, whether it be through nature and an eagle, whatever that may be, he's spontaneous and he seldom fits into our mold. Okay, so I just want to say, let's not limit him. Let's let him out of the box. And if, in fact, you hear from him while you're listening to Florence and the Machine and he speaks a word, you turn off the radio and you begin having discourse. What did you mean by that, Father? What are you saying to me right now? So all that being said, in this moment, And this is kind of the exception to the rule, honestly. I'm sitting quiet. I hear from him through the word in the morning, directly through the word. But seldom is it a still small voice, okay? So I'm reasoning with him about the year and how perplexed I am and how I'll never probably understand. But how much I love him in spite of it, and my head's just kind of spinning. And in a moment, in the suddenlies, when I least expected, nor did I think I needed it, he said, freedom. Do you hear that? Freedom. He spoke freedom over me. Okay, so here's the wave. Here's the wave. We're beginning to have some reasoning here. And he's about to tell me some stuff that I didn't even know that I needed. I was absolutely clueless. I'd done my due diligence and, you know, in certain instances had been led and obedient to forgive. I'd felt real free about that. And can I add that forgiveness is so supernatural, you guys? We just have to agree to do it, and then before you know it, you just go, oh my gosh, I'm like so free. Anyhow, so I thought I had done my due diligence concerning my perplexities. And yet, when he spoke freedom to me, I knew, okay, there's some rehashing that needs to be done. And I went, well, Lord, if you're speaking freedom over me, that means what? I must be in bondage to something. Now, can I just say to you ladies that it's not always about sin? Sometimes it's about the weight that you bear, okay? That so easily ensnares us. Sometimes it's about freedom from sin. Sometimes it's about freedom from memory. So in a nanosecond, at what my hubby and I like to call God speed, he speaks freedom over me. And I don't know how to explain it. It's a mystery, you guys. It probably was a second worth of whatever, but it was like an entire chapter. And what he did was speak, I want you to move forward in this new year with wisdom and leave everything else behind. And I knew what he meant. And then he said, I want you to pretend as if none of it ever happened. Okay, stop for just a second. I know that that is crazy, crazy difficult, a crazy difficult concept to comprehend. God wasn't telling me it didn't happen. He was telling me, this is for me, remember? I said, don't assume my story on you. I'm just telling you, this is for me. He spoke to me and said, I want you to pretend as if it never even happened. Okay, so in reasoning with the Lord, I go, okay, that means I have to forget. Philippians 3, 12 through 15. Not that I have already attained, I thought I had accomplished something already and we were done with this conversation. Not that I had already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. I mean, that those words are my own right now, you guys. I have not apprehended, okay? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, okay, this is a hard one, you guys. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God's going to reveal that, even that to you. Okay, this is about being mature in Christ. Now, that whole pretend thing might not speak your language at all. Over some simple issues that aren't so terribly tough, you might love that. But those harder issues, that may not be how the Lord would communicate to you whatsoever. But I do know this. Josh McDowell, were you guys here for the conference? Anybody? His testimony was so incredible. Josh McDowell, one of the most precious, kind men who's ministered for years. I mean, he's out almost every day of the year ministering and evangelizing. He shared his testimony with a house full. The same God that you love and I love, the same Savior that died for you and died for me, ministered such healing to Josh McDowell that just, I believe it was maybe 6 months into his salvation experience, that he was called to ask to forgive the man that raped him as a child over and over again for years, and forgive his father, who was the town drunk. Now, I'm just saying, you guys, that same God is able to heal you and bring you freedom 2. Don't remain stuck any longer. Josh isn't pretending it didn't happen, but see, I get the gist of what the Holy Spirit was telling me. I have got to cut the ball and chain that was absolutely, I mean, it was going to take my foot off probably if he didn't come in and say, there's something really obvious, something really evident in this room. You've not forgotten. You've forgiven, but you've not forgotten. I don't think for a second the Lord is saying right here, forget every foul thing that's ever happened to you guys. Certainly not. But there is a moving forward. There is a moving forward that will not be had apart from reasoning with a precious, loving God who wants nothing but your best. Stop and reason with him about those hard things. And quite possibly, he might come in and wash over you the most incredible, supernatural, freeing experience you've ever had. In that moment in my chair, you guys, I can't describe it. It was heavenly. It was supernatural, because we're not putting God in a box, right? It was absolutely supernatural, but I went, oh my gosh, I'm free. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that a loving God would show me something that was an absolute blind spot. Is your blind spot the remembering? I'm asking that question right now, you guys. Is your blind spot the remembering? Is it the elephant in the room? And you've just lived your life for such a long time in the remembering that you've neglected to forget. I believe it was Allison years ago that she said this so eloquently, but it's the forgetting to remember. It's the supernatural forgetting to remember. I by no means will ever forget my son Josiah David. I'm not gonna forget that, but I am past the anguish of the remembering that day and that moment. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it's only because of life in Christ and the moving forward. Too many will stay right in that heap of grief and never be willing to receive the supernatural gift of forgetting. So I feel like the Lord would be saying, I'm giving you permission to forget. I'm giving you permission to forget. I'm just gonna take a moment here and share another story. And again, you guys, this is personal. I called my daughter and asked if I could share it because it's very, very personal and it's very, very heart-wrenching. I mean, I could even cry about it probably right now, but when Heather and Jarrett were married, once in a while the topic of grandchildren would come up. And I was always just going, oh, you guys, no pressure. Like, whenever is great, you know? And I just thought I was being groovy. I thought, I just don't want to go down that road and be that mom or mom-in-law that's saying, when are my grandchildren coming? Well, sorry, you guys, if you've done that. I don't mean to, you know. If you've done that, love, 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 love. But I thought that I was just being really cool about that. And like, I'm good, you know, either way. So talk about the suddenlies and the blind spots that only he knows that he wants to free us from and pull out of us. And certainly this wasn't a sin thing. This was a grief thing. So one night, I have a dream. And in that dream, I'm standing on the roof of our house, and there's a trap door. And I open the door, and about 3 rungs down on a ladder was Josiah at about 3 years old. And I'm really cognizant that, oh my gosh, There's Josiah. Oh my gosh, Lord, I'm really cognizant that this is real, but this is a dream. And what are you saying, Lord? I have this emotion wave over me that I'd not experienced for years, and honestly, I'd forgotten all about it. But those of you that have little ones, you know the feeling like you just got a crush on your kid, right? You just got a crush. Like every time you see them, you just go, oh my gosh, this wave of emotion. But it's a bummer, it's just life. But you know, it dissipates as they get older. They become more like your peer and, you know, just helping things grow, growing things change and all of that. But I had that emotion, just like, oh my gosh, Josiah, so excited. I climbed down a few rungs and we're just holding each other. And as we're holding each other, the Holy Spirit says, you'll feel like this and much more when you're a grandma. And I went, what? So this is the deal, you guys. The trap door was a door into the hidden chambers of my heart. I didn't know that I was scared to death of being a grandma. I was scared because of grief. Will I be able to love another kid? And what if it's a boy? And oh my gosh, what if I didn't even know that existed in my heart. And Jesus, the wise, sneaks in one night and says, I'm gonna free Sarah from something she doesn't even know exists in her heart. And I woke up the next morning going, I cannot wait to be a grandma. I cannot wait to be a grandma. Plus, he used Josiah. Do you see why? He had to use Josiah in that dream to show me a couple different things. Josiah knows we're moving forward in our family here on earth, you know, and he's a part of why the grief was there. He is the reason. So I woke up entirely free. I know immediately I have to share this with Heather, because when you are a part of a family who has a sibling go to heaven, everybody's kind of careful with each other. And Heather on several occasions had said, Mom, will you be okay? Do you want to be a grandma? Do you want to? Because she knows. We know. Like, oof, this is scary, uncharted waters for us. So I knew I need to tell Heather immediately that this is going to bring her freedom too. So I share it with her. We're crying. Cannot believe that the Lord would do something so incredible. 2 weeks later, she announces she's pregnant. So, but yeah, hallelujah. Trinity Anthem, yeah, she's awesome. I have two more grandkids coming, and we're, you know, and Trinity is everything the Lord said she'd be. She's my bestest baby buddy. She just is. She's my little baby buddy. But God is after all those things that have wounded us, that have hurt us. Now, I could have woken up and gone, well, and disregarded it. But in Job and so many other places, God does speak in dreams, you guys. Don't disregard his voice. I hope this perks your ears up, your spirit up, to be in listening mode, that you would get on the wave of reason with him and not pull out short of the shoreline. Should we show it to him, Anita? Let's show him the video. Okay. See that, you guys? That is a 115-foot wave. And that little speck sliding down it is some brave soul that broke a world record in Portugal a couple weeks ago. But watch it, watch it, watch it. Okay, the white water, ooh, that must seem scary. That's scary, that's scary, that's scary. He pulls out, and he made it. That's a seasoned reasoner to look at that wave and go, I've walked with the Lord a long time. I trust him. He's not after breaking over the top of me and pushing me down and drowning me. He's not after that, you guys. He's just after a willing heart that is ready for more. Ready for more. Let me close with this scripture yet one more time. from Philippians. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize, for the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, the ready to reason as adults, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. That's not like, if you don't think that's true, God's gonna show you. No, this is his kindness. If you're not there now, you'll get there. You'll get there. Okay, let's stand and pray, you guys. Yeah, we're still in cootie flu land, so I won't make you hold hands, but normally I would. Okay. Oh, actually, let's do this. Let's surrender it. Will you risk just putting out your hands? Just risk forgetting, risk letting things go, risk forgiving. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Lord, and know perfectly well, I'm certain there are women here that have been so deeply, deeply bruised, have experienced crazy, horrific trauma. And then there's those of us that have just experienced life and all of the tumult that just life brings, Father God. But by your Spirit, you enable us to forget. By your Spirit, you woo us into freedom. Thank you, Father God, that you speak this way and that. I'd ask, Holy Spirit, that each one of these women would be willing. Would you just even say in your own heart, you can just say this silently, but I'm willing to be willing. I'm willing to be willing to be willing to forget those things you've called me to forget, because I don't want to miss out on what you have in the future. Father God, bring your wave of reason. Capture our hearts. I pray we don't pedal away, but paddle in, catch the wave, go with it. Eat your word, take it in, ingest it, and be forever changed. Thank you for an end to reasoning like a child and putting those things away and stepping into a more mature place in the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for working with us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we love you. Okay, so next week, Deanna's going to bring the word. She's the bomb diggity doo. Remind me again, I keep forgetting.
Reasoning with God through our limits.
Reasoning through God through our limits. Okay, that's going to be incredible. Guys, never mind. It's late. I've said too much already. I love you so, so much. Linger, visit a little bit. Love you. Be sure you pick up your kiddos at 11 o'clock. Love you, love you, love you.